Ready, Mr. Carney? Let's take our seats, please. I'm glad to see that everyone's infected with the Christmas, the holiday spirit. Hopefully it'll continue. Let's call to order this meeting of the Champaign County Board of Committee of the Whole for Finance, Policy, and Justice. Today is Tuesday, December 13, 2011. Time is 6:04. Please turn off your cell phones or put them on silent or vibration. Roll call, please.
Berkson. Betts. Carter.
Here.
Coart.
Present.
Ezri.
Here.
Holderfield.
Here.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim. Maxwell.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier. Muto.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richard. Rosales.
Here.
Schrader.
Here.
Alex.
Here.
Ammons.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Binzel.
Here.
Weibels.
Here. We have a quorum. Ms. Brooks was not able to attend tonight because of family medical emergency. Mr. Langenheim is still across the Indian Ocean, and Mr. Mosier is swimming with the manatees in Florida. Seek approval of the minutes for November 8, 2011 meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. James, second by Mr. Betts. He did catch my joke there.
He's the best swimming with the sharks here.
Yeah. discussion on the minutes? See none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. Seek approval of the agenda and the addendum.
So, second.
By Mr. Kurtz, second by Mr. Rosales. Ms. Ammons says she'd like to remove item E1. Is it E1 or EI? E1 from the agenda on page 4, near the bottom, on the chair's report. We'll remove that from the agenda. Any other changes? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. If you wish to speak to your public participation, please fill out a form and give it to me like Ms. Stephanie. Okay. First up is Jill Capes.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to me this evening. My name is Jill Capes. I'm a representative of the Champaign-Urbana Immigration Forum. I'm here tonight just to let you guys know that we've put out a report focusing on the Federal Secure Communities Program in Champaign-Urbana. In case you aren't familiar with this program, it is designed to, its intention was to identify and deport criminal aliens, as ICE would say it, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. However, that's not what's happening in Champaign County. Here, we have approximately 70% of those who are detained under this program are non-criminals, no criminal background. This program isn't working here, and we want to invite all of you to read our report on what is happening, how this came into play. It was directly approved by Sheriff Walsh himself, no oversight from any of yourselves or any other public officials. And we see that as quite problematic, in addition to this failure rate that of 70%. We're also concerned that this program is leading to could be leading to racial profiling in our community. It's breaking up families, and it's leading to distrust of police in this county. We've already had a public forum for this event. It was held December 1st at the public library. We had approximately 160 concerned citizens there who seemed to share our concern. And we have shared our report with the sheriff. Also hope to share it with you. We've asked the sheriff already to suspend all holds related to this, especially for non-criminals. We are in agreement that criminals should be held for ICE. And we've also asked the sheriff to ensure transparency of how this program is actually working. So giving yourselves and the rest of the community a report each month on what the costs are, what the detainments are looking like, et cetera. To establish a clear line of authority in the county jail and to improve the documentation of what's happening related to detainments under the Secure Community Program and the flow of information in his office. So this is my first time. I don't know if I'm supposed to ask for questions.
No, we do not allow questions during public participation.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Ricardo.
Diaz. Good evening. My name is Ricardo Diaz. I live on Main Street here in Urbana, and I'd like to also address you on this so-called Secure Communities program. Jill, if you don't mind sharing the copies of the report, I don't know what protocol is, probably to you.
They can be passed out.
Okay, you can pass them out. Just to give you some background, August of 2010, an immigration official came to the area, invited several of the sheriffs of neighboring counties, explained a very rosy program about how to make our community safer. Within 2 weeks, internal discussion had happened, and a very quick survey, the emails say, was filled out, and Champaign County was now under this federal program. Not only did we not know as citizens, as officials, we found out, some concerned people working in immigration, churches, advocates, researchers, that have been meeting and is now called the CU Immigration Forum. The group has come about because of our concern of serving and welcoming immigrants to our community, especially given the status of the university with a growing international student population. The report that some of you have, I apologize, we didn't have enough copies, but it looks like they're being spread out. The report is a summary of over a year of Freedom of Information Act requests through the Sheriff's Office. We're in the process of requesting information from Urbana and from the Champaign Police as to the procedures, their notifications, and their internal communications as to the program. We leave it in your hands with an invitation to learn more. We realize that it's a little bit is an obfuscated program. The feds just brought it upon us. We signed up, and now we're suffering the consequences of it, especially the costs. The report that you have in front of you is actually the Champaign County edition. There is a state report produced already in Chicago. We chose not to reproduce it, but if you'll go to the website on our report, you'll be able to get what the national and the state outlook details and the trouble that this program has had nationally, to the point that even now the Obama administration is actually looking for ways to withdraw it. It was before Congress 2 weeks ago in the subcommittee that handles immigration matters in the judiciary. All I ask is that as the relationship of a group of concerned citizens to public officials develops, that we are informed enough to make clear decisions. We have directed our comments mostly to the sheriff's office, but really it concerns all of us because when people are arrested, deported, for as little as a traffic light or as little as looking like someone that isn't a citizen, it creates great tension in the community. It creates a distrust of police officers. And let me tell you, when somebody runs a stoplight and they're afraid of being deported because of that, it creates all kinds of silly and grievous decisions. We can't have that in our communities. We ask you to look at the report. Call us, the CU Immigration Forum at the website. We're willing to inform, give you the details, whether it's in caucus meetings, whether it's in groups of, in this group two or threes. We're willing to inform. Right now we're on the group of about 25 people that is educated enough. We did that forum 2 weeks ago. But the response that we've gotten for the community has been tremendous. And Mr. Kurtz, I think you've got a copy now. But anyone else who wants more details, we'd appreciate the opportunity to explain the program, the stories, and maybe introduce you to some of the victims. And I thank you very much.
Mr. Derek Winstanley.
Thank you and good evening. I'm Derek Winstanley. I'm Chief Emeritus of the Illinois State Water Survey. I'm currently a consultant to the Mahomet Aquifer Consortium. Although whatever I say here tonight is a private citizen, not necessarily representing the views of those organizations. I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about the risks associated with the proposed construction of a chemical waste landfill in Clinton to dispose of PCBs. I want to mention three topics: the toxicity of the PCBs, the Mahomet Aquifer itself, and talk about the risks of contamination. It's PCBs with a concentration greater than 50 parts per million that are proposed for storage in this new landfill. The existing solid waste landfill at Clinton currently accepts PCB products and PCB contaminated soil with a concentration of up to 50 parts per million. So the new landfill would take PCBs of much higher concentration. For reference, the current maximum contaminant level for PCBs in drinking water systems, as stated by US EPA, is 0.5 parts per billion, much less than the concentration of the material going into the landfill. What does that mean? For reference, we have 7 billion people on this planet, so 0.5 parts per billion would be 3.5 individuals compared with the whole population of 7 billion, just for reference. So the point is that PCBs are highly toxic to humans in very small quantities. PCBs have been shown to produce cancer, damage reproductive, nervous, and endocrine systems, create skin, brain, and development problems. The U.S. Congress banned PCBs in 1979. The permit approval for the Clinton landfill is under the jurisdiction of the Toxic Substances Control Act of 1976. The Mahomet Aquifer, over which the landfill sits directly, is the sole source of water for about 650,000 people in east central Illinois. The water is very high quality and is used for domestic, industrial, agricultural, recreation purposes, and in hospitals, schools, and other community and private facilities. Briefly, just trying to explain the main characteristics of the aquifer. From the Illinois-Indiana border across to the Illinois River is an old bedrock river valley. So you take a valley, V-shaped, over successive glaciations over the past couple of hundred thousand years, the glaciers have deposited material and filled the valley. So at the bottom of the valley, the bottom 100, 150 feet, there's a layer of sand. That's the Mahomet Aquifer. It's the water contained in those sand pores that we depend upon for our water supplies. Above that, from the top of the aquifer up to near the surface, is a layer of glacial material that's primarily clay and silt, which is saturated but much less permeable. However, it is not impermeable. That will be important as I start talking about the risks. It's relatively impermeable, which means that water does get through it slowly. And recharge water that's gradually percolating through can carry contaminants, including PCBs, into the aquifer below. So moving on, what are the risks of contamination? Webster's Dictionary defines risk as the chance of injury, damage, or loss. A chance means a possibility or probability of occurrence. Zero risk means there is no chance of injury, damage, or loss. For any risk above zero, it's important to determine the likelihood or probability of injury, damage, or loss, and the nature of the risk. The Toxic Substances Control Act, under which the landfill will be managed, requires that a chemical waste landfill, such as the one in Clinton, has to provide, quote, protection against risk. What does that mean, protection against risk? It's not defined. The draft US EPA approval document that US EPA is now considering finds that the Clinton landfill, quote, will not present an unreasonable risk of injury to health or the environment. But not unreasonable risk is also not defined. The draft approval document also states that the Mahomet Aquifer is completely isolated from surface water and shallow groundwater. Disposal of PCBs at the proposed site would not impact natural resources of the Mahomet Aquifer or put any users at risk. So they're saying zero risk. And in a November 15 presentation to the Mahomet Aquifer Consortium, the Clinton Landfill Chemical Waste Unit stated that there was, quote, no long-term risk to groundwater. They quoted Dr. David Daniel, former dean of the UIUC College of Engineering, as stating in 2006 that the design of a hazardous wastefill landfill liner system is designed to contain the wastewater, quote, with reasonable assurance of safety. Doesn't say no risk, it's reasonable assurance of safety. After the presentation, I challenged the Clinton people about them saying that there was no risk, and they finally admitted that there obviously was some degree of risk. In East Central Illinois, we want to ensure uncontaminated water supplies for all future generations. That's the nature of sustainable water supplies. It's not for the next 5 years, not for 50 years, forever. So what degree of risk are people willing to accept for construction of a chemical landfill directly over the Mahomet Aquifer? Is it zero risk? Is it no unreasonable risk? Is it reasonable assurance? Is it a 1 in 100 chance of injury or a 1 in 1,000 chance of injury? We know that there are risks of contaminating water supply and damaging the health of future generations. I'll give you a couple of examples.
Mr. Wintsamy, you've run out of 5 minutes. We have a 5-minute rule. However...
Sorry, I thought it was...
No, sorry. Let me explain. During... When you discuss this, the deputy chair has the right to call you back. So we can call you back at the time, and you can continue and also answer questions.
Okay.
All right? And we don't need to suspend the rules to do that.
Thank you.
Is there further public participation? Okay. Any communications from the board? Mr. James.
I just wanted to make mention of one of our Rantoul natives, Joe Brown, passing away here, and the funeral was last week, but he was also sheriff of this county and had served Rantoul, and he was all around just a good, simple guy, especially when we'd be out on weekends.
Anything else? Okay, let's move on to finance. Mr. McGinty?
Okay. A little extensive agenda this evening. First is an amendment. 1100058 out of the coroner's office for $312. Is there a motion for approval by Brad? Is there a second by Carol? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, an amendment 1100060 out of the law library for 2616. For photocopying costs. Is there a motion for approval by Al? Is there a second by Geraldo? Discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, 1100061, an amendment out of the auditor's office for $5,500 for the reorg of the EMA department. Is there a motion for approval? by Jan, seconded by Patsy. Discussion? Stan?
I sort of remember thinking back that when this was done, that the person that left that office and came over to the auditor's office had been not a full-time employee, and they were going to be going full-time, and that basically the hours would offset any other increased costs because the person we had in there had also moved to another department. And the understanding I had at that time, I realized she made more money, but due to the increase in the hours, it would offset, from what I recall, the money or any type of raise that was anticipated, because basically that position is not being filled by a higher paid employee than what used to be. Am I correct?
I'm sorry. I don't recall that we ever talked about this employee reducing hours from full-time status. What you were told at the time that this, the auditor wrote this description, EMA was reorganized, an administrative assistant position was eliminated. This individual was the incumbent in that position, and a deputy director position was created. And the difference in salary for those two positions was minimal. There was no required increase to the EMA budget. This individual is covered by the AFSCME contract and had the right to bump anyone within the general unit, but chose to move to this vacant position. She was allowed to retain her current salary because the contract requires that. The individual who had been budgeted to fill the position in the auditor's office was an employee who had about 5 years with the county. This incumbent has over 20 years with the county, so there was a disparity between their two salaries. And we didn't amend the auditor's budget at that time because oftentimes if there's any attrition or turnover or leaves of absence during a fiscal year, those kind of additional personnel costs can be absorbed within the budget. But in this case, there was no change to the staffing in the auditor's office throughout the year, so the amendment is necessary to accommodate the difference in the salary between the person who left the position and the person who filled it.
Other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. The fourth item is an amendment, number 62, increase appropriation of 38.1, increase revenue of $28,000 out of the state's attorney's office. This is the increase in evidence forfeitures revenue. Is there a motion for approval? By Stephanie, is there a second? Ron, discussion. Carol.
I'm going to ask why the appropriation doesn't match the increase revenue.
Effectively, this is the drug asset forfeiture fund for the state's attorney, so it's not the general corporate fund. But what they do is they take the revenues from this fund and transfer it to general corporate, and they did not transfer as much last year, which allows them to increase the transfer for 2011. So what this really means is it's good news to general corporate because they're transferring more than what was originally budgeted to the general corporate fund by about $10,000. And that's because the revenues are sitting there from forfeitures.
Other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries. Item number 5, an amendment number 64 for 12413 out of EMA. To pay out benefits for retiring employees. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By Stan. Is there a second? By Carol. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number 6, a transfer, 1100018 out of the law library for $121 for IMRF. Is there a motion for approval? By Al. Seconded by Stephanie. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, a transfer number 19, Circuit Court for $15,000 to cover a shortfall in the budget due to the installation of new assisted listening devices in the courtrooms. Is there a motion for approval by Aaron? Is there a second? By Ron. Discussion? All in favor? Diane? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. With this, will that take care of all the problems that we had? Because I thought that was one of the things that was on the wish list, if I'm not mistaken. Was this, well, not necessarily wish list, but these were one of the things that we were looking to replace possibly next year, or is this something different?
This is a little different. You approved this in August. Assisted listening devices are to help those who are hearing impaired to hear court proceedings, and they needed to be replaced in August. You're thinking of the court sound and video arraignment system, which is a separate project, which is happening in 2012.
Will this coordinate with the new?
Oh, yeah. These devices will coordinate with the new sound system.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Item number 8, a transfer. Number 20, for $378 out of the recorder's office. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By John, seconded by Carol. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, item number 9, a transfer out of this year. Number 12-0001. For $29,700 out of the public defender's office. This is a contract with a private attorney to cover the caseload. Motion for approval by Brad, seconded by Carol. Discussion. Tom.
Diana Lennick.
I do have a conflict of interest.
So Tom is noting conflict of interest, and he is abstaining. Other discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Note the Betts abstention. Item number 10 is an amendment, number 12-0001, out of the debt service account for $230,000 to correct a fiscal 2012 budget data entry error. Is there a motion for approval by Gary? Is there a second? By Pius. Discussion. Diane.
Sorry. This is a large item to the bottom of our budget, and I think maybe on our desk tonight we have a new report from you for the general corporate fund. Wanted to know if that was included in it, and it seems like this 230, the 15, the 29, we've got a lot of things last minute that have come up, and I mean, accidents happen, and that's okay, but this is a large amount to our bottom line this year.
Okay, clarification. This report is for the general corporate fund. This budget amendment is on the public safety sales tax fund. They're separate funds. This report is for fiscal year 2011. This amendment is for fiscal year 2012.
So
you're approving amendments and transfers for both fiscal years tonight because we're in the process of closing out fiscal year 2011, but we are, as of December 1st, in fiscal year 2012.
Okay, but we approved that budget, didn't we?
The budget was approved in November.
Okay, so
these bond payments, the bond principal payments are due January 1st. If you look on page 23 of your agenda packet, this is an error. It's an error that I made in putting together the public safety sales tax debt service budget. But you will see the revenue is there. The public safety sales tax revenue in this debt service budget is $3,349,036. The $230,000 is missing in line item 581.01, but when you add it, it's still a balanced budget for this debt service. This was clearly an error. If you look on page 25, you'll see this $230,000 is the principal payment on bond issue 2007A, and it's listed right there. It was never intended that it not be included. It was a mistake.
That's fine.
And the overall impact on the fiscal year 2012 budget is it's $113.5 million budget that was understated by $230,000.
So everything should work out okay with this fund.
Yes.
And the income is correct then. So
the income is correct.
Okay. Sometimes if you miss one, you get the other.
No, it's correct. It's
okay.
There.
Thank
other
you.
Questions on this item? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number 11 is an amendment number 2 from this year for $100,000 off the Mental Health Board to allow receipt and expenditure of funds associated with the Just Drug Courts program. Is there a motion for approval?
Second.
By Al. Is there a second? By Jan. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up, from the sheriff, a request for approval, a first extension of contract to provide special police services for the village of Savoy. Is there a motion for approval?
So
by
moved.
Steve O'Connor, seconded by John Jay. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, a request approval of amendment to Aramark agreement for inmate food services. Is there a motion for approval? By Stephanie, seconded by Steve O'Connor. Discussion. Carol.
Aramark contract that we got earlier in, a few months back, actually. Can we just get an update as to what the actual impact of this change is?
No.
What the actual impact and cost will be? Okay, that's a good point. Is there a
way? I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
To try to get that information, the impact, because I remember the Aramark contract earlier in the year, and we actually redid an entire agreement with Aramark. But I don't know what this change does to that agreement.
Yes, we can definitely have that information for you with the right for next Tuesday.
Jan?
Now, in the, it talks about the cost per meal, so it would depend partly on the census at the facility, right?
I can't hear you.
If you look at page 28, it talks about the cost per meal that Aramark serves.
I think what we're asking, though, is what is the change, and we don't know what it is, because it only says what the new cost is, and I can't tell you what the old cost was, but we can provide that.
So for tonight's purposes, I'll just recommend that we move this, but not put it on consent. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, but we won't stick it on consent. I'm sorry? That's fine. So it's really not going to be on consent. Perfect. State's Attorney's Office items under C. First is a request for authorization to designate the Office of the State's Attorney's Appellate Prosecutor as agent. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By James. Who was the second? Steve O'Connor. Discussion. Deb.
There has been a change since this agenda was put together last week. If you look on page 29, the state's attorney refers to the cost of the service as $27,000 per year, which it has been for at least the last 10 years. And if you look on page 31 in the resolution, it again refers to that $27,000. The state's attorney was notified later last week that because we are now a county with a population of over 200,000, that dollar amount is increasing to $30,000. So the final version of the resolution will indicate $30,000 instead of $27,000. I wanted you to know that before you approve it.
Carol.
I just want to ask maybe a question that Ms. Busey can't answer, but when we pay this almost retainer, is it more like a retainer than the actual cost?
No, this is all we spend, and the appellate prosecutor's office handles appeals for Champaign County regardless. And so this is a huge deal.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up is a request for approval of litigation assistance agreement. Is there a motion for approval? By Stan, is there a second? By Stephanie, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next is a request for approval of renewal of victim advocacy grant for fiscal year 12. Is there a motion for approval? By Carol, is there a second? By Lorraine, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up, facilities director request approval of waiver to the hiring freeze for a maintenance worker position. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By Stan, is there a second? By Patsy, discussion. Patsy.
Ms. Busey, I had an information question. Was this an unexpected?
Yes, we had an employee resign, and we're still operating under the county board's hiring freeze resolution, which requires us to hold any position that becomes vacant open for 3 months. It's terribly difficult for the physical plant to manage its daily operations when it's down even one position.
Other questions, Stan?
This person resigned. How long?
I think it was just recently, Alan. Is that right?
A month and a half ago. Other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. You bet. So the suggestion by Deb, because the assistant city attorney is here, take the item H now. I should have noted that earlier. Sorry, Joe. But you're getting paid, so, you know, that's all right. All right. So let's, if it's all right with you all, we'll go ahead and take the Clinton landfill issue now. And so the issue is a request approval of an intergovernmental agreement regarding the Clinton landfill permit under other business. Is there a motion for approval?
I move.
By Al Kurtz. Is there a second?
Second.
By Quiz. Discussion.
Can I just point one thing out?
Deb first, then Pius.
I would just point out that there is a new copy of the memo that was in the packet at your desk tonight. A part of the cost had been left out of the original documentation that was provided, so that has been updated.
Thank you, Pius.
Just a point out, under the rules, you can ask Mr. Winston to come back up and finish the rest of his comments, and we could also ask questions. Also, I want to note that I have to abstain from this because I am a member of the Law and Order Advisory Council, which advises both the governor's office and the legislature on potential litigation, or sorry, a legislation which may result from this, so therefore I will abstain.
Okay, so Chair Weibel will be abstaining. Discussion. I'll start with Patsy, then Al Kurtz, then Tom Betts.
Can we ask Mr. Hooker questions, or do we have to suspend the rules to do this?
Just go ahead. We can go ahead and ask directly. Joe, you mind coming up to the podium? Thanks. And Joe, why don't you tell everybody just to make sure they know who you are?
Yeah, I'm Assistant City Attorney Joe Hooker, and I've been kind of organizing this effort. We've been looking into attorneys, and we've been contacting other jurisdictions, and so I'm very familiar with what we're proposing to do as a legal matter, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have in that regard.
All right, Patsy.
Thank you. I have several questions, Mr. Hooker. Thanks for all the work you've been doing on this. My first question is, there are now a number of governmental entities that have come on board, but as I look at the map of the aquifer and the counties that are involved with the aquifer, especially moving west, I noticed that so far we're the only county that has been contacted, or maybe not contacted, but in discussion of joining this intergovernmental agreement. So my question is, what about other communities that get their water from the aquifer and other counties?
I'm quite sure you're not the only county that's been contacted about this. You're the only county that's put it on your agenda, as far as I know. I can't speak to the specifics of that. Steve Carter's been kind of taking the lead as far as contacting, reaching out to other governmental entities, and I'm pretty sure we've contacted Macon County. I don't know what the status of their response is, but so far, and if this is in the report, Normal, Savoy, Champaign, and Urbana now have all authorized entering into the agreement. We're hopeful that Bloomington will authorize it. If memory serves me, I think they're going to consider it somewhere like January 3rd or something like that, but I really can't speak to, you know, the extent to which other communities are thinking about it right now. We're going to continue to reach out, and as you may have noted, the intergovernmental agreement, the way it was drafted, does allow for new members to join, and so we're going to continue our efforts to bring in other people to participate. And part of that, the requirement of others to participate would be to contribute to the costs that had been incurred to date, and we would reimburse communities accordingly that had already joined the effort.
So there is a potential that our costs could go down.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's where I was going. Okay. The second one, the cost that you have prepared and are sharing with us, I'm assuming is for legal services.
Yes.
Only.
Yes.
So there might be potentially costs connected with any studies or reports that are needed for these legal services.
There may be, although there's also a possibility we're going to be pretty much confined to the record that's been made already during public comment. To the extent we would be litigating the approval of the USEPA to authorize this, my understanding is to that we may be limited to information that's already been made part of the record, and that would include the expert testimony or documentation, if you will, from experts about the way the aquifer functions and the design of the proposed landfill, that sort of thing. So I, of course, one of the reasons we're wanting to hire private counsel is that those of us in-house are not that familiar with all these rules, right. So I don't know that I have a real clear-cut answer for how likely it is we'd be able to actually hire additional consultants with technical opinions about this.
Okay, and then my last follow-up question is does the county have the option of opting in for just 1 year and seeing how things go, or do we have to opt in for the full amount right away?
Well, that would be pretty much however you craft your resolution. Where we are at right now is we've actually gotten an offer, if you will, from these two attorneys that we focused in on to provide a phase one, which would essentially be a complete review of the record to date, a review of the applicable law, and a recommendation about how to go forward. That's that $12,500 figure you have. And they had given us a ballpark of, and we had a fair degree of confidence that it would not exceed $45,000 in total as far as concluding any litigation on this. We don't have that in writing right now, but certainly you may want to craft your resolution that you'd be authorizing what would be your executive committee member to sign off on that first phase and then wait and see what happens with that first phase. I mean, that would certainly be something you might want to consider.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Next up is Al Kurtz, then Tom, then Gary.
Thank you. I have a statement I'd like to read. As elected officials and the government body of Champaign County, we have a responsibility to protect the safety of our residents, their families and children, and future generations. This is one of those times when we must take action in that respect. As chair of the Environment and Land Use Committee and a representative of this board in our county, I and many other elected officials and concerned citizens visited the Clinton landfill. The Clinton landfill is owned by Area Wide Disposal. They propose to store large quantities of PCBs in this facility. This landfill is placed above the Mohammed Aquifer. PCBs have been banned by the EPA as too dangerous to use in our environment. We were given a tour of the entire facility, including a large pit where millions of gallons of PCBs will be stored. We were assured that this facility would never leak into the aquifer, even in the instance of a tornado or earthquake. George Rodekamp, an expert on the Illinois Water Survey and a Mohammed Aquifer Consortium member, accompanied us on the trip. He's been studying the aquifer for 20 years. He wrote a 9-page report in opposition to their results. His opinion, the PCBs contaminating the Mohammed Aquifer would be too high a risk to take in this environment, especially above the only clean drinking water in central Illinois. I asked this board to join with other jurisdictions in working to stop this from taking place. If we don't take action now, it will be too late if this facility is allowed to store these carcinogens. I ask that we pass this intergovernmental agreement. Thank you.
Tom.
Assuming there's litigation on this matter, how open-ended is it? And by that I mean there's all sorts of appellate rights which start quadrupling costs. Are we in a situation where if we're in for a dime, we're in for a dollar?
Well, again, you may want to craft whatever your authority is to revisit this once the case is closed out at the trial level, for example. But as in with any case, there's always possibilities for appeal, and we'd certainly want to explore that if we were unsuccessful. And frankly, I think the landfill company might very well want to explore an appeal if we succeed. So, I think that's something we would have to anticipate. On the other hand, in my experience, The costs for an appeal, I suspect, would be less than the cost for the actual challenge at the trial court level. Now, it's a little confusing because this is going to essentially be appealing from an administrative authorization, if that's what it comes to. But I think at the point that the federal district court makes its decision, you're going to have a pretty complete record, and my suspicion would be that costs going forward would come down as we went along, because you'd basically be arguing from the same record, and it would be just a matter of arguing the law and how the law applies to the facts to a different group of judges. So the reality would be that there's very possibly going to be an appeal. On the other hand, you know, the landfill may decide we don't want to invest any more time in this if we were successful in the federal district court, but that's some speculation involved in that, no question about it.
I have a follow-up.
Please.
In terms of this, this $45,000 yourself, say you're in trial and your attorneys need a lot more information, a few more expert witnesses, and
would be the partners who continue to join in the effort. And now, I should tell you that after the first phase, we're going to get a solid commitment once again with a not to exceed figure. That would be our intention, as we did with phase one. So it's not going to be an open ended situation in that regard, and we may end up paying less. And for what it's worth, these two very capable and experienced attorneys have quoted us a fee which is pretty darn reasonable in our experience. I think it's a tribute to their enthusiasm and belief in the importance of this case. They've each quoted $175 an hour, which is pretty good for somebody who's an expert in the field. In fact, we inquired of another firm, Brian Cave, which is a firm of national reach, and we were convinced they would have done a terrific job for us, but they were quoting us, you know, on the low end for their associates, $325 an hour, that sort of thing. So I guess I would just share that in the sense that I think we're going to be able to litigate this for less money than we thought we might have to spend. But I, you know, you're correct that there's some uncertainty as far as the cost of an appeal. But at least for the litigation itself before the federal district court, we're going to get them to commit to a not to exceed figure, which I anticipate would be $45,000.
Anything else, Tom? Gary, then I've got John, Alan, Chris. Gary, you're up.
I'm a little concerned that we don't have more active counties involved in this. And I would like to see that come on before we get too committed to spending a lot of money. Are we under some sort of a deadline to initiate action on this?
We will be once the U.S. EPA actually makes its decision. And frankly, we thought we might get a decision 2 months ago. So we're preparing for this as if the decision could come down any day, and then the clock will start ticking as far as the time you have to file a complaint in the district court. And I understand it to be somewhere in the range of 60 days, something along those lines. So it is somewhat urgent that we're poised to start. And in fact, the plan was if the county was going to join, we were then going to see if we could get what would be the executive committee members to actually agree to hire these two attorneys that we've identified so they can start actually looking at the record and looking at the law in anticipation of the U.S. EPA decision.
John, then Alan.
Thank you. The law firms that... And I'm going to refer to you because Champaign is the lead agency with this law potential lawsuit or up-and-coming lawsuit. The attorneys, one of which is from Peoria, the firm from Peoria and a firm from Chicago, which this county board has a bad history of with representation from Chicago attorneys. We do have a bad history. We spend a lot of money and don't get a thing done. This body, that's right. What kind of track record do these law firms have and these gentlemen have that are going to be representing with such lawsuits with, I assume, the EPA?
Well, Albert Ettinger, who's actually technically a sole practitioner right now, he's the gentleman out of Chicago. He's litigated a number of cases under the Clean Water Act successfully. He's represented the Prairie Rivers Network on occasion. He's represented the Sierra Club. I provided all of you who had emails with his website, and I would encourage you all to visit that website. He's a very highly regarded environmental attorney who, frankly, charges a remarkably low rate. I mean, we were pleasantly surprised when he quoted us this rate. And Mr. Wentworth, as I understand it, is actually already successfully litigated with this landfill to stop actions in Peoria. And that was the reason that Mr. Ettinger contacted him in order to have more expertise specifically focused on landfill regulation. And we were impressed with both attorneys when we looked into their backgrounds. And I guess the other firm I quoted you was more on along the lines of what I think of as a Chicago attorney, a big national firm, and again, we think they were extremely capable, but their rates were a little too rich for our blood, and we thought, you know, it'd be better to go with these two gentlemen, who we think will do a very good job for us.
Has the city of Champaign contacted American Water Corporation to see if they're interested?
Yes, I can't speak to what actual conversations have happened, but yes, we've asked them about that, and they're aware of our efforts, and I can't speak to what, you know, their position is on this.
So there's been no return comment then from that?
Not that I know of. Now, another thing to be aware of along in that vein is the Mahomet Valley Water Authority has actually actively been involved in making a record in opposition to this. That's an actual public body that was created with the purpose of protecting the Mahomet Aquifer. They've had an attorney that they hired out of Chicago who's been assisting them in making a very good record on this. They hired a consultant who carefully looked at the proposal of the landfill company and at their consultant's report, and they came up with a long laundry list of concerns about misrepresentations made by the landfill company and their consultant about the alleged low level of risk on this. And so far I think there's a pretty good record about concerns and about technical concerns about what the proposal is and how it might affect the aquifer already at this point.
Might Sangamon then be part of the assistance in with this lawsuit? Their technical background, their legal.
The Mahomet Valley Aquifer?
Yes, the Mahomet Valley.
Yeah, they may well. I have not talked to them specifically about it, but I certainly wouldn't rule out that we wouldn't join forces along those lines. It might depend on their funding. They don't have a lot of money. This is, as I understand it. And I think this was a pretty gargantuan effort on their part. You know, they have three board members, and I don't even know what their revenue source is. I think they have some kind of tax revenue source, but it's pretty inconsequential compared to, you know, some of the bodies we've been contacting to join us on this. But certainly, I've been coordinating this with their attorney, and you know, if we can join forces, that'd be terrific, and that's something we'll certainly explore.
Okay, thank you. I'll stop for now and let somebody else in.
All right, John. Next up is Alan, then Chris, and Jan. I've got you too. So, Alan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in support of the overall idea of what we're trying to get here, but I am very concerned about the level of commitment from other counties and from even incorporated areas in our county, for example, Rantoul and Mahomet. I am concerned about unincorporated portions of the county that we represent here, but there are bodies that are incorporated that should be asked to be a part of this. And I guess that's part of my, unless I'm misreading the breakout here, I think that it would behoove us to be a little fairer on this. I'm also of the opinion, I'm trying to read Mr. Betts's comments, but I think anybody who loses this is going to appeal. I mean, let's just face facts. This is going to be appealed. So, I mean, this opens the issue of where the 45,000 goes from here. I would just bet that we would appeal it. And I know that the EPA has lawyers on their payroll, and we have billable hours. Now, some of you might remember the nursing home billing as you looked at individual items from the firm that we had for their costs. And it's amazing what a photocopy costs, and it's amazing what some of the charges they billed us for. And, you know, we haven't seen that. I think Tom's point, along with Gary's point about expert witnesses and those kinds of things, that will be tagged on to this. So, you know, this has to be crafted, I think, a little firmer on our behalf. You know, normally the procedure is, and I think Brendan would agree as the chair, the ELUC committee would discuss this as to the merits of doing this, and then the finance committee would approve it financially. So we have skipped, and I am satisfied that we're talking about this a little further on the basis of that, but I would have preferred that this be before ELUC first, that we would discuss it in full as to how we feel about this as a project to take on, and then determine whether the financial part of it fit in. So we're kind of putting two things in here at once, and I am not persuaded also that that we have to make a decision tonight. I frankly would rather defer this and get some committee group of all parties that should be involved in this around a table and discuss this. And Mr. Hooker could certainly put that together so that we get a feel for how many people are truly going to be involved or want to be involved. Or, you know, the comment to Ms. Petrie's question is, well, your rate will go down if XYZ County gets in here. I'd prefer to look at these people face to face. It's all part of negotiation. And I'd like to see the body language if they're in or out. So I'm not persuaded that we have to make a decision tonight, and I'm not persuaded that we have really investigated what an appeal will cost, because I am just dead sure that we'll be involved in an appeal. Thank you.
Chris, then Jane.
Mr. Hooker, what are the potential outcomes of this litigation? I mean, assuming the EPA approves, if the EPA denies the permit, there's no litigation, right?
Right.
Unless the applicant appeals. If the EPA approves the permit, what are the possible outcomes? I mean, obviously, we could lose, and the EPA could approve the permit anyway. We could win, the EPA could deny the permit outright. Is there something in between? I mean, would our and other counties' participation in this potentially result in strengthening the conditions of the permit or other, you know, sort of mitigating factors in this decision?
Well, the view of some of us have looked at this is that there's no way to reduce the risk adequately just by redesigning this landfill. In fact, I think the sense many of us have is that the applicant has, given what the current technology has proposed, something reasonable in the context of landfills generally, and I don't know whether, you know, there's anything that could be done to eliminate the risk for the long term is what our concern is. I think most of us feel that this would probably work adequately for 10, maybe even 20 years. The concern being that at some point there's going to be a tear in one of these liners. As has already been alluded to, the soils are not completely impermeable. I mean, the evidence is just absolutely to the contrary, that the aquifer is being regenerated from surface waters in this particular area. It takes a while, but and that's contrary to what, you know, the suggestion has been by the applicant. So none of us that have talked about this have considered, you know, something that could be done to strengthen the design of this that, in our view, would be adequate as far as eliminating the risk to an acceptable level. In response to that question.
Thank you, and I apologize. This isn't directed to you, Mr. Hooker, but to the board. I have some degree of familiarity with the process of doing environmental remediation of sites that have been contaminated with PCBs, and I think there are a couple things that are almost true in every circumstance. One is it's a lot harder to clean the stuff up out of the ground than it is to keep it from going in the ground in the first place. Number two, whoever gets paid to store or dispose or dump this material is long gone by the time the facility leaks and needs to be cleaned up, and they never have the financial resources to provide sufficient insurance or sufficient guarantees to be able to be financially responsible when there is a problem. So I think any time the feds permit one of these things, a part of the permitting process is adversarial. I mean, I think if people who are being asked to absorb the long-term financial risk and the long-term health risk of these things aren't willing to stand up and bring suit to block these things and force the, you know, to keep the EPA honest, as it were, I think the process breaks down. I think to just accept a granting of this permit on our part would be like paying sticker price, and I don't think we want to take the risk in the long term for something that some outside entity is basically, you know, initiating. $14,000 may seem like a lot of money now, but it's a lot cheaper than being on the hook for, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars in economic loss and cleanup costs down the road. So I will support this. I appreciate Mr. Nudo's comments about trying to get other counties on board, but, you know, realistically, we can sit across the table with, you know, smaller villages and cities in the area all day long, but I think they're going to be looking to the larger cities and larger counties to take the lead on this. I would definitely encourage the city of Champaign as lead agency to pursue those if we do approve this. But I think, you know, we've got to step up, and for $14,000, this seems like money well spent to me. Thank you.
Jan and then Stan is all round one, and then now I've got you.
Okay. Sitting, listening to all of the previous brings several things to mind. Mr. Nudo's comments about going to ELUC. I think we had the discussion under ELUC a couple months ago when we did the resolution not favoring using the Clinton landfill to dispose of these kinds of waste. And then I have to ask, why do we want to wait for other counties? They may be sitting having the discussion waiting for other counties, including us. Why couldn't we be a leader and help bring them on? And if I remember some of the news accounts, we were not the only county that passed resolutions against using the Clinton landfill for these kinds of waste. So I think there has been sentiment out there. I can't speak to whether they're doing the kind of thing we are, but if we are seen as going in this direction, perhaps that would persuade them to do this also. I appreciate Mr. Alex's comments, but I do kind of wonder about the cost of when you talk about cleanup. I'm not sure that if we have a problem with this getting into the aquifer, that you can really do a cleanup. And I don't know if you can speak to that, or perhaps we've talked, is it Mr. Winston Lee? Is that the name? Whether he could comment on this. I know prior to the resolution, a number of us went out to the Farm Bureau building, or maybe that was while we still had a separate ELUC committee, and saw a presentation on the aquifer, how it formed, and to better understand it. And I don't remember all that they told us, but it seemed to me from what I do remember that if you get these sorts of things into the aquifer, I'm not sure that it's possible to even clean up. I'm at the age that when those problems arise, I may be long gone, but I do care about my children and my grandchildren, who I hope will still be here, and that they will still have clean water to drink. And I can't help but think of the, I think this would apply, the old adage about being penny wise but pound foolish. And that's what I'm thinking, and I would support this.
I don't want to speak to the technical issue you just raised. My perception is that, you know, from a common sense standpoint, it would be very, very difficult to clean up when you're talking about contamination. Yeah, and Mr. Winstanley can probably address that much more effectively than I could.
Could you please, so I don't think we need a waiver of the rules for this. Just if you come up to the mic, please. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, it would be virtually impossible to clean up if the Mahomet Aquifer got contaminated several hundred feet below the ground. We have a hard enough time cleaning up contamination in shallow aquifers, you know, few tens of feet below the surface, but several hundred feet directly below a landfill, I don't see any way it could be cleaned up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I still have a few for round one. Stan, then Brad, and I've got a couple others. Don't worry, I got you.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to all of this, and I know that this project's been ongoing for some time, and we're stepping up to the plate, what I consider it the last mile, and trying to halt something that's been ongoing, which is fine. I mean, I don't support the concept of what they're doing, but when I look at attorney costs and everything that we're talking about, and I hear all the figures thrown out, and what Alex said and Jan said, there's been litigation that this county's been involved in, and every time we get close to the bullpen, they say, oh, wait a minute, we're going to need 50,000 more, or we're going to need 100,000 more, or like you said, an appeal. We're talking about taxpayers' money. We're not talking about money that all of us are writing out of our checkbooks. So we have to be mindful of that. We can't just say it's a good thing and this is what we need to do. I sometimes think that we're all remiss that we sit here and tout all this wisdom, but as this ball of wax was opening up, who all was going over there to voice their concerns? And many people did. I don't always agree with the EPA. I don't always agree with things that are done, but those are the laws, and they set them, and yes, we can fight them, and everybody can appeal them. But it's always someone else that's paying for our logic, that now we want to enter this and say we are going to save you. So I have a problem with that. And then the other thing is, it seems like no matter what man does, whether it be lead paint, whether it be asbestos, whether it be anything, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we're cleaning it up and technology changes and it's harmful to all of us. I agree that I do not want to see my water tainted, but experts... And there's experts, just like lawyers, it's an opinion. Everybody's going to give you their side on what the story is, and we have to figure it out as to the best of our ability. So I, for one, since we're late in this game and nobody was pounding the drum when it started, saying, hey, we ought to be on the bandwagon, we ought to be going to some of these meetings, we ought to be researching this more, it seems like we're throwing up a stopgap measure to something that's been rolling along. And I would remind this group that not too long ago we all supported an ethanol plant that was going to be located in one of our areas, which was going to pump tons of water out of the aquifer, but it was going to bring jobs. Well, how different is that to the people on the outside thinking, let's fight that county? So sometimes we need to stop and think, and yes, we need to worry about it, but if we're going to be involved, let's do it from day one, not at day 58. Thank you.
Brad, Stephanie, Michael. Brad?
Yeah, Mr. Hooker, I want to ask you a question, just what Stan was talking about there, because in our caucus, there was quite a lot of opinion that it's a waste of time to try to fight the EPA, that they've already made a decision and it's a waste of time. So I wanted to ask if that was true in your estimation, but also if you would point out again what happened in Peoria and what stage were they in when they were able to stop a similar operation in Peoria?
Yeah, and I apologize, I don't remember the details, but they were, I think I'm right about this, I think they initially wanted to get this permission in Peoria, and they were unsuccessful doing it there, and I can't tell you why precisely. All I can tell you is that Mr. Wentworth was involved in that, and that's one of the reasons that Mr. Ettinger thought he would be a very valuable resource to have with on his legal team. So I just don't know the answer. I don't know all the background on that.
So you're saying that Peoria was successful then in stopping the EPA after they made.
Yeah, and I don't, and I, and again, I don't know how, why they were successful. It might be, I don't know that it had anything to do with the aquifer, for example. So I apologize for being so vague. I just don't know the real particulars about that.
Thank you.
Stephanie, then Michael, then Lloyd. Stephanie.
I have two questions, one for you, Mr. Hooker, and if it's all right, may I ask Mr. Winstanley a question?
Sure.
All right. Mr. Hooker, with your area of expertise, do you believe that if, with what you have seen, should we, as a county, not come up with a resolution to cap absolutely what we would be willing to participate in dollar-wise?
Well, at this point, and I guess I'd like to try to convey to you how tricky this is to coordinate reaching out, talking to attorneys, trying to make an assessment of this, and then pulling together, you know, 6-8 different local governments and have them debate this and go through their legislative process. So we've been trying to coordinate this in kind of a rational way. At this point, as I understand it, the intergovernmental agreement draft that's been approved by Urbana, Champaign, Normal, and Savoy assumes that the county is going to approve to go forward. In other words, to the extent the county decides not to go forward, I think the four of us need to go back to the drawing board and reassess what our position is. That's just kind of just the lay of the land. I mean, and there's no perfect way to do this. I mean, we can, at one point we wanted our identify a core group and just move ahead. I mean, we could be talking to jurisdictions for the next 6 months, and in the meantime, you know, all our ability to litigate will have evaporated because of you know, statutes of limitation and that sort of thing. But so at this point, the notion was to try to have these five entities join forces, move ahead, hire their attorneys, continue to work with other jurisdictions. We think there's a very good chance Bloomington will join us even before the attorneys are hired, but it's kind of a tricky timing issue, if that kind of answers your question.
Thank you. Mr. Winstanley, could you please step up? Do you have any knowledge of other communities within the country, in the state of Illinois, possibly this evening with you, that the U.S. EPA has approved anything like this before, or if anyone that has taken the EPA to litigation regarding a decision like this, do you know of anything other than Peoria, whether or not they have won their litigation, their lawsuit?
One of the motivations in creating an additional toxic waste landfill is the initiative that President Obama signed in 2009 requiring a cleanup of the Great Lakes and associated rivers in the region. A lot of the waste that is likely to come to the landfill will be sediments from Lake Michigan and from rivers like Illinois River and Sangamon River and so on. Within the Great Lakes region, there are three other toxic waste sites with a total storage capacity of about 60 million cubic yards. The Clinton landfill would add an additional 2.5 million cubic yards to that total, so an additional 16%. The other sites are in Detroit, Buffalo, and one other I can't remember. But in addition to the Great Lakes, the PCBs could come into Clinton from anywhere in the country. It would be transport costs that would be the only prohibitive factor. There are other cases of communities fighting US EPA on PCB problems. I don't have the details with me, but I do remember one major case in Carolinas where communities fought long and hard and were successful against EPA in fighting PCB contamination. You know, if you wish, I can check that out further, but I know there are places where they have fought it successfully.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael, then Lloyd, and that's all I've got on round one. So if you need, okay, and then Steve O'Connor. Michael.
My colleagues have made some very good points about cost. We might want to make sure we have a do not exceed on this for the $12,687.69 that's listed as the high point. But I wanted to speak to the fact that I think that we need to approve this at some point tonight. I know Macon County, McLean County, and Bloomington are all looking at this in one way or the other, and maybe they're waiting to see what other entities are doing. So I think we need to show some leadership. Joe, I want to commend you and Steve Carter and the city for the extraordinary amount of leadership that the city of Champaign has been showing over the last year on this. The amount of, for those of us trying to push public knowledge of this issue and public comment a few months ago before the deadline, the amount of detail and work that you guys obviously put into the City of Champaign statement was just amazing. And I want to congratulate you on pushing leadership on this again and getting this together. And I hope that we will end up joining you after we assuage some of our fiscal concerns, because this is not a matter that we can let stand. Honestly, I don't think that any of us in this room can trust the U.S. EPA. The EPA itself has said that PCBs are a carcinogen, and they refuse to say that over time that this toxic waste landfill is going to be completely secure. Just as they did with hydraulic fracturing fluids across the country. And now we already, just a few years into natural gas fracking, as it's called, have fracking chemicals showing up in water supplies in Wyoming after they got the same assurances from the US EPA that you'll probably be okay. So I just want to remind everybody that EPA decisions are subject to the same court review as anything else, and that we don't want it to let this fall through, and once a decision comes through, have any chance that we're just going to let this stand and that somehow this breaks apart, and basically if the Mahomet Aquifer region, if Central Illinois loses this one, that there's no one to appeal that. I hope we'll show some leadership like the City of Champaign has, and in some measure will approve this intergovernmental agreement tonight.
I've got Lloyd, then Steve O'Connor, then Carol in round one yet.
Well,
Lloyd, you're up.
Mr. Richard kind of gave me something like, but I can't understand. I thought EPA was our main source of keeping us from getting poisoned. What I'm saying, I can't understand why can't we get some kind of feedback from that agency or get rid of them.
Good luck with that.
One more question. Who are their folks? Who regulates EPA?
It's
I hate is time after time we go to that agency and we get nothing, but still get poisoned. So it's about time, if they can't fess up, let's get rid of
them. Steve O'Connor, then Carol.
Well, I wonder if I've been laboring under a wrong impression. I was told that EPA approval was past tense. It had been done. That's not what I'm hearing now.
The state EPA has already approved this. That's a little bit of confusingly. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has already approved this under their standards, and because this is covered by the Toxic Substance Control Act, the federal EPA has the last word on it. In fact, the state, I think, kind of defers to the U.S. EPA, as I understand it, even though they've approved it. But that may be what you've heard, that the state's EPA did, in fact, approve it under their process.
Are those the same people that are worried about combine dust?
I couldn't tell you that.
Anything else, Steve? All right. Got Carol, then Diane in round one yet.
I just wanted to ask Ms. Busey if she can just give us an idea of if this passes, where would this revenue come from?
Yeah, it's in the memo, but the I really think the only option you have is to amend the county board's fiscal 2012 budget to increase it by the amount of whatever you decide you want to spend.
And you would increase it from where?
General corporate fund balance.
Okay, and keep in mind, your share will be just a portion of that. I mean, if we have these five groups, so.
Okay, Diane?
I have a question. The three entities, Normal, Champaign, and Urbana, come up to about 68% of the population, which means the balance come from the smaller communities and the unincorporated areas. What would happen if we did not participate and then later maybe decided to say, okay, we'll help you out here? I mean, is this something you have to be in or out, no, down the road?
I would be the last person to predict what Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy would do if the county didn't go ahead. I guess my own hope is we would go ahead, but we'll need to go back to those bodies and let them decide. That wouldn't be my decision or anyone else's. This is an administrative matter. The corporate bodies of each agency would need to recalibrate and make that decision.
Thank you.
I have one more yet for round one, and that's Aaron.
I just had a quick question. I guess maybe more directed, Mr. Stanley. Hearing that the current Clinton landfill already is accepting PCBs, now granted it is a lower acceptable parts per million or whatever, is there any guarantee we can't get polluted from what's already there? So we've potentially already got a mine sitting over our aquifer already. Granted, I don't want even another landmine sitting there, but sounds to me like we've already got one there. I don't know. It's just a point to bring up that it's already there. Sounds to me like, I mean, yeah, this is a bigger batter bomb that could maybe, you know, hit us even harder, but we've already got this. It's already there.
Is there anyone else who has not spoken yet to this that would like to speak before we go to repeat offenders? Okay, so the order, just three of them so far, Al Kurtz, then Patsy, then Alan.
Okay. I've been sitting here listening to this, and it's hard for me to envision an elected official going before its residents in an election campaign and saying to them, well, we didn't want to spend $12,000 to protect you from the possibility of toxic drinking water for your children and grandchildren. The risk is too high for us not to spend the dollars that it takes to try and prevent this. Now, I am going to answer some questions and some concerns. Mr. Nitto said, why didn't it go through ELOC or policy? Why finance? Well, we sat down and discussed that. We wanted to know which committee should have taken care of this issue. We felt because there were dollars involved that it should go through finance and full discussion as we had tonight. So we did discuss this with Ms. Busey and Pieswire, the chair. Secondly, Stan, I'll tell you, you talk about taxpayers. What is our job? Our job is to use those tax dollars to secure the safety of our residents. Are we going to follow some of the small incorporated areas, or are we going to lead this community? They look up to us as leaders. Our goal here is the protection of our residents and its future. I stepped out on that landfill and stepped onto that pit, and I looked down at it and I said to myself, what if an earthquake or a tornado came and ripped this thing apart? What happens in 30 years from now when this company is no longer there to protect this area of our water?
I'll be long gone, but my grandchildren will be here, and maybe their children and grandchildren will be here, and they'll look back and say, why the heck didn't that board spend $12,000 to protect us? Or whatever it costs. We spend money on everything. The nursing home, it's a building. We're talking about 650,000 people and clean drinking water. We've seen water go bad in other parts of the country, and we're willing to sit here and discuss money when we're talking about lives? I'm sorry, but we have to look at the long term here. The long term is a risk of our drinking water being toxic. That's all I have to say.
We've got Patsy, then Alan, then John, and then Jan.
Did Mr. Hooker faint? I have an information question. I looked up the case. I looked up the case in Peoria, and I noticed that included in the suit was not only the U.S. EPA, but also the Illinois EPA and the Illinois Pollution Control Board. Are those other two agencies part of what you all are thinking, including in the suit, or just the U.S. EPA?
One of the tasks we've given in our proposal, in our request for proposals to the two attorneys, is to actually look at the record for the IEPA as well to see if there's any irregularities in there that are worth challenging. I don't understand that the Pollution Control Board has been involved in any manner at this point.
And, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Next up is Alan.
I want to thank everybody for their concerns about political races, but I'm just wondering if we need to have some measure of what we want to craft as a resolution here. I'm on record as saying I'm in favor of this project, but I think we need to do it judiciously and understand that we are going to take on a certain level of commitment here. As Mr. Richard said, as Ms. Petrie said, and Mr. Alex said, I think we need a resolution that, and Mr. Hooker agreed, that we either tonight or in a date certain, maybe the next elect meeting, we have a resolution that outlines what our responsibility is. As an example, maybe you say we're going to spend the $12,000 and we'll have another vote on this as a progressive measure to see where we are and how much we support the next level of cost. And so what I'm saying here is we have in front of us a request for an intergovernmental agreement, but as Mr. Hooker said to some of Ms. Petrie's questions and Mr. Alex's questions, we have the ability to craft something that we want, that we're comfortable with, and make sure that we know what we're getting into. And I am very concerned also of your comment that if there are other agencies or counties that are going to get involved, that, you know, if we're going to be a leader in this, then our cost goes down and allows us to make decisions for the appeal and anything else that comes up. So, you know, we don't need to have an emotional comment as far as, I understand that. But I think we just need to make sure that what we're doing fits in with what we know legal costs become with nursing homes and the kinds of things that we have seen those bills and said, how do we get into this morass? So I'm just saying let's make this something that we can get accomplished, and it may be tonight, as Mr. Richards would like, or it may be at the ELEC meeting where some measure of people that would like to get involved in this resolution have something in front of us that's more concrete as to what we're voting on. Thank you.
All right, I'm a little worried about all the discussion that's happening that's a little distracting to people who are trying to listen to the main speaker. If we can keep it at least limited, I'd appreciate that. John is up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there's some misconception with some of the questioning, and my questioning has been to Mr. Hooker, particularly who's involved or who's been asked, since Champaign is a lead agency, that I think the questioning is who's been asked to be involved? When I ask, has American Water Company been asked? Has Iroquois County Board been asked? Has Ford County Board? You know, that area up there is a lot of the recharge in those northern counties. That's where most of the sandy soils are. That's where the quicker recharge is. You know, just asking if those have been asked to come in. I don't think there's a problem with this county potentially showing leadership as a municipality, a lead county, but I'm just wondering, who's been asked to join in with this intergovernmental agreement?
And again, I'm sorry, I just don't know the answer to that. I know that Decatur's been lobbied to join us, and I believe Macon County has as well. I can't speak to Iroquois County. I'm getting all this information secondhand. And I guess one thing I'd ask you to consider, and I think those are, you know, reasonable questions, is that at some point we have to make this manageable to initiate it. And for example, if we had an intergovernmental, and I've just been thinking about this in abstract terms, just trying to organize this. If we had an intergovernmental agreement that, you know, had, 10 bodies of government that potentially might join, and everybody approved with the expectation that all 10 join, it makes it even more complicated. One body changes their mind, everybody goes back to the drawing board. So it's, and that's not to at all discount your concern that how come we're not hearing from other jurisdictions. I certainly appreciate that sentiment.
Not so much hearing from them, but yeah. Have they been asked to be involved with this?
Most of the effective communities have, I believe. Now, Iroquois County, I don't recall seeing any information
in
about
the
that. And I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm not the person who's been doing that outreach, so I don't have an answer for you specifically.
I think Mr. Nudo phrased it perfectly, and I'll stand behind what Mr. Nudo says, and I won't bother anybody else. Thanks.
First of all, Deb, to speak to the issue, and then going on the list.
Just in answer to your question, I am aware that McLean, Macon, and Sangamon counties were all contacted with regard to this, and I actually even had direct communication with the administrator of McLean County. They've not yet put it on an agenda, though.
Got Jan, then Quiz, then Stan. Jan.
I could support a resolution that perhaps would say, someone said first phase. Would you consider what we've got on here a first phase? When I heard Mr. Richards mention Wyoming and the fracking, and I realized fracking may involve other chemicals, but being in Pennsylvania twice this last year, and the state had opened up the state to fracking, and there were places opting in, and there were articles back there of numerous small entities that were having water problems with the individual wells and small city wells and like that. So the state put a moratorium on that. And that's not the same issue as here, but it's similar in some ways when people are asking if the EPA has ever, you know, been successful in fighting them. And I think it is, and I see this as a big problem too. But I don't know if you want a motion to...
It's up to the body.
To support...
There's an existing motion.
Support this with... proviso that we support this first phase and then would reevaluate it at that point. Does that seem like a reasonable way?
I'm not sure I understand what your suggested motion would be.
Can I ask Joe a question? The intergovernmental agreement, if the county board adopted a resolution to participate in phase one, which has been quoted by the law firm as a not to exceed $12,500, and with the total cost, I mean, to the county, it's about $3,000. Can they then approve this intergovernmental agreement, or should they simply approve a resolution documenting that to communicate to the members of this intergovernmental agreement of their desire to assist.
Maybe an approach that would kind of salvage this intergovernmental agreement in its current form would be to something akin to limiting the authority of your executive committee member to approve the next phase without further county action. The way this is structured, and this is partly to make it more efficient, is the notion is that the executive committee members, one from each body that's participating, would vote on whether to actually hire a particular law firm or expert or not. And so seems like one way you might address this and enter into the intergovernmental agreement is just make it clear that your executive committee member would not have just administrative authority to do that on his or her own, and would rather have to come back to the board with a specific proposal, and it's along the lines that we have for the first phase.
And you think we could document that within the current intergovernmental agreement as an amendment before the board would approve this? And
I think that would just be in your resolution approving the intergovernmental agreement. It wouldn't be in the body of the agreement itself.
I'm gonna wait one because Quiz is the only one who has not had a chance to talk to this issue yet. But there has been a call for the question. I'm gonna let Quiz speak his piece first.
All right. First of all, I'm gonna say that I believe that we as a county should participate in this, but I do have a question with regard to how we arrived at the methodology for how the costs would be split. Were there any other methodologies that were reviewed, such as maybe water usage from the aquifer?
No. No, we just looked at population, and we modeled this on an intergovernmental agreement we had to intervene in a couple of ICC cases, rate cases. So the answer would be no, we didn't really look at alternatives.
Because it would be my suspicion that we're doing this off of total population, and it would be my suspicion that a large amount of the rural population is getting water from fairly shallow wells and not contributing to the usage from the aquifer. So I think we all are in this, but we used population as somewhat of an arbitrary way to break this down. Maybe a more even participation cost would be in order.
Well, yeah. Before I respond to that, let me address this intergovernmental agreement thing. I don't want to. I'm realizing I might be confusing the issue here. The current intergovernmental agreement requires a majority vote to go to the next level or to hire anyone. So even if your executive committee member didn't want to go on to the next phase, you'd be committed to this unless you – I suppose you could come back and just withdraw from the agreement. Anybody can terminate their participation. That's possible in the agreement too, and maybe that would be – and I guess I would just share with everybody, we're certainly going to be very transparent and give everybody plenty of advance notice about what kind of a quote we get for any further phases on this. I mean, we certainly appreciate, and Champaign's in the same boat as you folks are. We're money's tight for us, too. So we're very, very sensitive to the idea that, you know, any participants in here are going to have a say and an opportunity, if need be, to actually withdraw if they think the costs are getting too high. I mean, that's got to be built, and that is built into the intergovernmental agreement. So, you know, there's some unknowns there. We did get a quote that is not official at this point of a cap of $45,000 to litigate to the completion, but frankly, that's subject to possible change after they actually look at the record. And so going forward in this, it's going to be incumbent upon us to be very transparent, give everybody plenty of advance warning about, you know, what the next phase is going to cost, and for that matter, give everybody an opportunity to decide whether they want to withdraw or not. I think that would be your protection.
Anything else, Quiz?
Well, at this point, before I yield the floor, I guess I have a question as to whether we want to vote on this at this point or defer it to the next opportunity. I understood that we have, once the ruling comes down, we have 60 days, which would be well within a period of time that we could address this again at a future ELOC meeting. I've heard discussion about perhaps amending this to just limit our participation to the phase one. I know Tom wants to call the question, but there are some questions out there that haven't been resolved.
At this point, I know that there are a couple of other speakers that want a round two. There's one that wants a round three. We've been we've taken this a ways. There's the opportunity to call the question. This is a cow. It can be further discussed at the full board at that point. And Tom has suggested a calling of the question, but a couple others need to agree with that for the question to be called from a parliamentary standpoint. And so if I'm hearing anyone else saying to call the question, then we will. That's Lorraine. And is there anyone else that wants to call the question at this point?
Roll call.
And Al has called for a roll call. Does anybody else want a roll call?
Well, point of parliamentary procedure, are we asking for a roll call on the call of the question?
We are going. The question is being called. It is on the issue of the intergovernmental agreement, and there is going to be a roll call.
The two-thirds vote required to call the question, if I'm not mistaken.
Point of order, time board rule says it's only a 50% vote. Well, and there has to be a vote on the call of the question.
Thank you.
Because it does suspend. It's just suspended.
All those in favor of calling the question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries. We're calling the question. So the issue on the floor is the request of the approval of an intergovernmental agreement regarding the Clinton landfill permit. And there's been a request to call roll on this. Does everyone understand what we're voting on?
No.
We're voting on the issue at hand, the requesting approval of the intergovernmental agreement.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask one question?
Sure, go ahead.
Now, I want to support this.
It has to be about this issue.
It is about this issue.
All right, good point. We can't discuss because the question's been called.
Well, how do you expect me to vote for it?
Mr. Parliamentarian, hold on. Excuse me, Mr. Parliamentarian. Okay, so the parliamentarian has ruled that the question's been called, so we have to vote.
Point of order, can you restate the question?
I think I've done it a couple times. It's a request for the approval of an intergovernmental agreement regarding the Clinton landfill permit.
Thank you.
Has everyone read their packets? There's no other discussion.
No discussion.
Call the roll, please.
There's no way to make a substitute motion.
The question's been called. Please call the roll.
Betts?
Yes.
Carter?
No.
Cohort?
Here.
Yeah. Esri?
No.
Holderfield?
No.
James?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Maxwell?
Yes.
Michaels?
No.
Nudo?
No.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
No.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Did I skip Richards? Sorry, Richards.
That would be a yes.
Everybody does.
Schrader?
No.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammons?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Binzel?
No.
And McGinty?
Yes. 13-10, that motion passes. Good discussion. Joe, thanks very much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, question?
Go ahead.
When this comes up again at the full board meeting, we can put in substitute motions then for
absolutely
further requirements that
and
we're trying
to do. This is not hidden consent. This so is it's just going to be an agenda item on full on at the full board.
Thank you.
Next up is county administrator. Next up is the county administrator. Let's move on, please.
The 2011 General Corporate Fund Revenue and Expenditure Projection Report is at your desk this evening. At this point, we have 11 months of revenue and probably 11 and a half months of expenditure. We are projecting that we will end fiscal year 2011 with somewhere in the vicinity of a $500,000 to $600,000 revenue positive position, which is good news. Considering the outstanding loan to the nursing home, this puts our fund balance right at 10% for fiscal year 2012, which is an improvement over where we started, obviously, fiscal year 2011. There are no changes to the budget change report.
Any questions? Motion by Carroll to accept and place on file, seconded by Geraldo. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
There is no Harrison Harris report.
Thank you very much. Auditor's monthly report, anyone want to accept and place on file? That's in the packet by Geraldo, seconded by Lorraine. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Dan, didn't I say it would be short for you because we're first on the agenda?
I've noted what you told me.
I told him to bring a pillow so yeah, we could sit on it.
I'll be quick. My monthly report's on my website, or the webpage, county webpage, I should say. The only thing I wanted to highlight was that at the end of November, we did repay, General Corp repaid the $1 million loan from public safety. So that's been repaid. So if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. If not, I'd ask that my report be accepted and placed on file, please.
Motion by Brad, seconded by Al. Any questions for Dan? Steve?
Dan, I read in the paper where Vermilion got a couple big checks back-to-back. Have we got another one coming?
That's what I'm told. Yeah, we got the $895, and I understand $1.9 million should be on its way soon.
Outstanding. Any other questions for Dan? Jan.
I would just comment that Mr. Scavato sent out an email today indicating that DeKalb and Vermilion County got their IGT payment today, and so they're cutting the checks, and he was hopeful that we would get ours this week, so hopefully.
Anything else for Dan? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there any other business? Items for, there is no chair's report. Items for consent are all under A except for number 3, 4, and 9. Only B1 goes on consent. All of the items under C, 1, 2, and 3. And D1, that's it. OD doesn't go. That's it from finance. Thanks.
Next is policy personal appointments. Ms. Adams.
All right. Policy has before you item A1. Appointments, Mr. Weibel, Champaign Southwest MTD.
Yeah, for the term from December 1, 2012 to December 31st, 2016, my nomination is Mr. John Dempsey.
Second to that nomination.
Second.
Second by Mr. Quisenberry. Any discussion on this nomination? Request a roll call. Is there a second for the roll call? Do we need a second for the roll call? Yes, thank you. Any other discussion on this appointment, Mr. Dempsey? Mr. McGinty.
I'm just going to say that I have not seen the usefulness of this board at all. I'm going to vote no just to make a statement. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're dealing with transportation at all. We've been dealing with this for a long time. I know we keep making the appointment, but what a waste. What a waste. So I'm just tired of dealing with something that's not even doing anything with transportation at all.
Thank you, Mr. McGinty.
Well,
Chair Weibel.
I would point out that under the rules of transportation districts, if we do not replace the person in that capacity right now would stay there. So I made this nomination was to get some fresh blood on that board.
Any other discussion on this nomination? Clerk, would you call the roll?
Betts?
No.
Carter? Carter?
Yes.
Cohort?
No.
Esri?
Yes.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jones?
No.
Kurtz?
No.
Maxwell?
Yes.
McGinty?
No.
Michaels?
Yes.
Udo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
No.
Rosales?
No.
Schrader?
No.
Weibel?
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Anderson?
No.
Benzel?
Yes.
Ammons?
No. That motion carries. Number two, Champaign County Supervisor Assessment, term 12-1-2012. January 1st, 2012, through December 31st, 2015. Mr.
Weibel. I am pleased to nominate Mr. Stan Jenkins.
Second by Mr. Kurtz. Any discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. Item three, Champaign County Mental Health Board, two vacancies, term January 1, 2012. I can't even say that yet. To 12-31-2015. Mr. Weibel.
My nominations are Ms. Dolores Henry and Ms. Aylin Deneve.
Second by Ms. Cohort. Any discussion on that item? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion carries. Item four, 2 miles SLU. Thank you. SLU. Drainage District. Letter of resignation from Lyndon Warfield.
Warfield.
Mr. Weibel, do we need to?
You just have to note it.
We just note the resignation of Mr. Warfield. Thank you. Number five, 2 miles. Oh, gosh. SLEW, S-L-E-W, right? Pronounced. Drainage District, one vacancy, unexpired term ending August 3rd, 2013. Mr. Weibel.
My nomination is Mr. Mark D. Bielewski?
Bielewski.
Yeah.
Second. Hooked on phonics in here.
That's nowhere near correct. Is there a second to that second. Nomination? Mr. Schroeder seconds that nomination. Any discussion on the nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. Thank you. Willow Branch Drainage District, one vacancy, unexpired term ending August 31st, 2014. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Mr. Stephen Medic for this vacancy. I also move that this body find it in the best interest of the district that the requirement of ownership of land in the district be waived.
Second
by Mr. Betts. Mr. Weibel.
Mr. Medic has been farming in the Drainage District for 30 years. He does not own the property outright, but his father-in-law owns the property, and I think that's good enough to do it. Again, we've had this problem with a small district, and it's hard to find eligible people. Therefore, I support Mr. Maddock and I urge you to vote for him also.
Thank you. Mr. Schroeder.
To add on to that, I understand that the commissioners are looking to put that as a sub as a Conkey branch. So with the addition of Mr. Maddock, that'll push through. And that'll be a sub of the Conkey branch.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion carries. Item 7, Rural Transportation Advisory Group, three vacancies, term 12-1-2011 through 11-30-2013. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Minor Jackson, Chris Bronze, and Elaine Palencia.
Second.
Second by Mr. James. Discussion on these items, these nominations. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries.
One item from the addendum.
One item, appointment from the addendum is item 8A8, County Board Liaison to Access Initiative Coordinating Council, one vacancy, term 12-20-2011 through 11-30-2012. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Mr. Geraldo Rosales, who I thank because the only person who expressed interest.
Second.
I'm sorry, I missed a second. Mr. Nudo, thank you. Mr. Weibel.
I ask that Mr. Rosales report to the policy, the Justice Social Service area of the County Board in case he has any reports. We'll run it through Mr. Michael Richards, and we can put that in the resolution.
Thank you. Any discussion on this nomination? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. Back to item B, County Administrator's report.
The vacant positions listing is in your packet for your information. The second item is a recommendation for revisions to the personnel policy. These recommended changes are to bring our policy in compliance with current EEO legislative and legal guidelines. I would ask for a motion to approve that.
Motion by Mr. Betts. Is there a second? Aaron seconded. Thank you. Any other discussion on this item? Ms. Petrie.
Thank you very much. I would like to make a motion, page 130, the first highlighted paragraph, to add the word age. I'm sure that was just omitted by chance.
130.
But it's part of the EEOC.
It is there.
It's there.
After national origin.
Okay.
I withdraw.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. That motion carries. B3.
The workforce profile is in your packet. It's for your information. I also have Amanda Tucker, our HR generalist, is here if any of you has any questions about that.
Motion to accept.
Thank you. Second.
Thank you. I saw Ms. Stephanie Holderfield. I'll take Mr. Bess as a second on that one. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. That motion carries.
Thank you.
County Clerk, monthly reports. I don't think we have any discussion.
Move to accept and place both on file.
Thank you.
Second.
That's the monthly fees report and semi-annual report. It's been seconded by Mr. Quisenberry. Discussion on these items. Seeing no discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item 3, request approval of resolution to establish places of election. The county clerk is here in case you have questions, too. I'll entertain a motion for that.
Second.
Mr. Weibel has moved. Mr. James seconded. Questions?
I have a question for Mr. Holcomb.
Yep.
I know he likes to be in the spotlight.
Thank you. Mr. Weibel, you can start the question.
Could you perhaps just say how many changes you've made? I don't have to specify, but you can specify.
How many changes we have made? I didn't actually count them.
Did you add more, add some, combine some?
In broad terms, we're trying to do a number of things with the plan that I've asked you to consider tonight. We, of course, redistricted precincts. In June or July, you passed new precinct boundaries for Champaign County. We increased the number of precincts from 117 to 118. So the addition of a precinct alone requires a new polling place, especially because we created a new precinct in St. Joseph, where there had previously been two precincts in that township, and we now need a third polling place in St. Joseph. We also made a number of changes to existing precinct boundaries, especially in the outlying areas of the city of Champaign and city of Urbana, in Champaign Township, in southwest city of Champaign, and in Urbana Township, and in southeast Cunningham Township. Those changes, in some cases, shifted population boundaries enough that we wanted to consider some new polling places. Most importantly, as we anticipate what we expect will be near record or record voter turnout for next November's general election, we are asking you to consider decoupling, splitting apart a number of the consolidated polling places where you've consolidated two precincts into one polling place over the years for budgetary reasons. We are doing that because the anticipated voter load and because we have now on hand, due to the campus early voting center that we were required to have last November, we now have on hand the equipment necessary to run up to a maximum of 102 polling places in Champaign County, and then also have 12 tabulators on hand to run early voting here at Brookins in our office, and then also have 12 tabulators on hand as backups and or to run off-site early voting for the November general election, should we choose to go in that direction. We can expand from our traditional 95 or 96 polling places in Champaign County to the 101 that I'm recommending at a relatively minimal budget impact. The budget impact will be small enough that we can absorb it in the existing budget that you've already passed for our office. Some of the additional expenses will be a handful more election judges for the county. But given that we're anticipating 800 or 900 election judges serving Champaign County next November, regardless, about twice what we normally use, an additional dozen or two dozen to staff extra polling places is not necessarily an undue burden. It will not result in any extra ballot printing costs because we print ballots for precincts, not for polling places. It will result in a little bit of additional expense for facility rental, but we pay our polling places the whopping sum of $25 in rent for the day anyway. So the additional 6 or 7 polling places is not going to be anything that's going to break the bank. It will add some ancillary costs in terms of our election notices. Our election notice will be longer because it may have 6 more polling places on it than it used to have. And our distribution costs may be a little bit higher because we'll have to hit 6 additional facilities as we distribute election equipment for elections. We're asking you to make these changes now, to adopt this plan now for both elections in 2012. Because, as you know, we intend to distribute new voter identification cards to every registered voter in the county in January. And on those voter registration cards, those voter identification cards, we will have all of their new district numbers post-redistricting. Hopefully, Urbana School District will pass a district map tonight and save us about $12,000. We'll have all their new district numbers. We'll have their new precincts, if they happen to be in new precincts. We'll have their levy bodies, which districts they are in. And then we would also like to include their new polling places. Changes to polling places are not something that we recommend lightly. As I said, there's a minor but still significant budget impact when you consider where the budgetary straits that the county's in. It is also a significant disruption for those voters who have to undergo a change to their polling place. It's a disruption for our election judges. It's a disruption for our office. But most importantly, it's a disruption for the voters who have to go vote. So we will do some concerted efforts to educate the voters that are going to be subject to polling place changes. Normally, our normal procedure is when we make a polling place change, we send a letter to every registered voter in the precinct that's affected by the polling place change to let them know that the change is happening. We will do that. We will, of course, issue them their new voter ID card that will have the new polling place on it. We will also explore the use of our Help America Vote Act grant funds for any voter education activities that we can target to those areas where there has been a disruption in their polling place. We are also asking you to make these changes both for the primary election in March and the general election in November, though we don't think we need the extra capacity to handle voter turnout in March. We're doing that because we want voters to have an extra election to get used to where their polling place will be for that percentage of voters for which there's a disruption.
Thank you, Mr. Kurtz.
Thanks, Gordy. Are all polling places now in agreement? Do you have all of them solid agreements for each polling place?
Yes, polling places is an incredible amount of work to visit the facility, tour it, secure their permission, explain everything that we need to do, examine the facility for ADA compliance, prepare them for what they're going to deal with on Election Day, coordinate the securing of a key, distribution of equipment. We've spent the last 6 or 8 weeks working on that piece of the project, and it felt like every time we got the last piece of the puzzle into place, something else would fall apart. Right now, we're set. Our past procedure has been that if something should happen now, where a polling place may withdraw between the time the county board approves a polling place and the actual conducting of the election, there's a statutory window where I have authority to make that change on my own, but our procedure is that we notify the chairman of the county board. And if there's any objection, he, of course, can bring it back to the full board.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Gordy, could you tell us, you said you were going to send a letter to voters whose polling place has changed. Is that before the primary and before the general election, or just before the primary?
Just before the primary.
And when you send out that letter, I know the card is sent out. It's just a card.
It's
right?
Just a card.
It's a postcard. But when you send out that letter, would you be able to include information about early voting in that communication so that those disrupted folks would also know that they can go to Brookings and vote beforehand?
Yes, we'll promote early voting. We'll promote absentee voting because, of course, you can vote by mail now with no excuse. We'll do everything. Every change we have made in the office over the last year has been in anticipation of what our turnout is going to look like for November of 2012. And as much as we can push people to early voting or absentee voting as possible, we will do so. It reduces lines here. It reduces lines at the polling place. And it's just better for everyone involved.
I guess I'd like to suggest that you consider repeating the communication to the disrupted voters before the general election, because it's a long time from March until November, and not everybody votes in the primary.
If we can do so within the constraints of our budget, without having to come back to you with our head in hand, we will try and do that.
Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you. Gordy, I see that you moved Tolono 10 to the municipal building. Tolono 2, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Not 10.
Granting Tolono 7 extra precincts.
No, precinct number 2. And just for the record, you're splitting the 2,500 voters that used to go to the community center. I'm hoping that it'll be more accessible to precinct 2 for Tolono. And also, one more question. Easy one. Will there be signs identifying, large enough signs identifying outside the precinct that are changing, that will help direct people if they do happen to show up for Tolono Precinct 2 at the municipal or at the civic center? They'll be directed to the municipal center.
Yes, and we'll have signage. We'll educate the judges in the old polling place. The Tolono 2 Champaign 4/7 split is a great example of what we're trying to do with the decoupling of consolidated polling places. It used to be Champaign 7, which is essentially the south side of Savoy. It's now been renumbered Champaign 4, but it's exactly the same precinct. Champaign 4 and Tolono 2 were a consolidated polling place at the Savoy Recreation Center. Savoy Recreation Center is a great polling place, but their parking has limited capacity, and the room in which we conduct voting has limited capacity. If we left those two precincts together, we would anticipate more than 2,000 voters traveling through the doors of that single polling place on November 2012. And in my opinion, that is just too much for that one facility to handle. We could have moved either one of those precincts to the Savoy Municipal Building, but the Savoy Municipal Building is actually smaller than the Recreation Center, so we moved the smaller of the two precincts. Which is Tolono 2. The polling place for Tolono 2 would have been out of the Tolono 2 precinct boundaries regardless.
Any other questions for Mr. Gordy?
I just have a comment. Al Klein, who's chair of the Central Committee for the Democrats of Champaign County, has examined the polling places, and he has nothing to report back as far as any complaints or anything like that.
That's great. No comment.
Thank you.
Can I put that on a mail piece?
No other discussion on this item. At this point, I'll just call a question on the request to
Thank
support
you.
The resolution. Thank you, Mr. Gordy. All in favor of this change to the polling places?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. That motion carries. Other business, D1, request approval resolution honoring retired Zoning Board of Appeals member Melvin Schroeder. Moved by Ms. Colwart, second. I'll give that to Mr. Jay. Thank you. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposition? The motion carries. D2, request approval resolution authorizing the submission, Mr. Weibel's coming, of the public question to adopt an opt-out program for the supply of electricity to residential and small commercial retail customers. Mr. Weibel.
Thank you. Let me give you a little background on this item. I first found out about it, I think, on October 6th. And from an email from one of the potential providers of electricity to the county. And at that time, I shrugged my shoulders and said, I don't know what this is. So I asked for a meeting with Andrew Levy, who I figured would know more about it. I can't recall when we had the meeting. I know we had some problems getting the meeting together. I think we eventually did meet a couple weeks later, and he told me what he knew. He's not a specialist in that, and certainly I am not either, even at this moment. And then I was talking to Ms. Buse about this a week or two later. And then we found out that Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy had been working on this for some time, or at least they had started working on it right away. And they were moving forward and planning on having a referendum in the spring. And then, obviously, I felt we needed to get on board. So our plan is, if we could get on the same referendum, we could go piggyback along with them, basically go through the same motions they do with minimal effort. If we decide to do this at a later date, obviously we're on our own. And that's going to take more time, more effort, and things like that. So what I want to do quick is I want to quickly go through this PowerPoint presentation, which you have a printout at your desk. Let me say that I ripped this off in the city of Champaign. Thank you, city of Champaign. That's why there's no front cover. And any place within this where it says city, it replaced that with county. And first of all, start out with state of Illinois. State of Illinois is a deregulated energy state. What does that mean? That means that on your electricity bill, you have a supplier who makes the energy, like the people who own the Clinton power plant. They provide that energy. They sell it. Then there's also the transmission, people who get a fee for getting that electricity to your house or to your business. And, that's for the fee to get to the local utility. And then there's distribution, which gets it to your business or home. So three people, suppliers, transmission, and distribution. After deregulation, customers can now choose their own electrical supplier. Many of you probably have gotten letters in the mail from companies like Blue Star, and I think there's Illini Electricity or something like that. You're getting letters of solicitation. They want you to designate them as your supplier. That's what they're trying to do. Okay. Now, Illinois laws allows the customers to purchase supply from two sources. One, from default utility company. Or you can buy it from, again, a retail electric business called RES. It's like Blue Star, like I just mentioned. You can buy them as you like. Next page. Why would you want to buy from an RES? Because of the competition, they can offer you a lower rate. This means instead of just having one supplier, you can sort of compete between two. Who's going to give me my best offer? So like you can auction yourself. Who buys some of these RESs? Well, companies that use lots of power, like the city of Champaign. The county, our utilities, we belong to a co-op who does the same thing. I don't know where we buy our power from right now, but we do the same thing. So who does it? Well, individual residents rarely do, until with the passing of this type of bill. What this law does is allows the city or counties or villages to combine residents into a buying group. Basically, it's forming a cooperative-like group. And the whole idea is the more people you have involved, the more competitive prices you can get, i.e. you get cheaper prices. This is electricity only. Also, yeah, this is only for Ameren customers. So it's Ameren Silco, Ameren Illinois. I know they different people write the checks out to different parts of the company, but it's all Ameren customers only. And don't ask me why it's only for Ameren. I don't know. So what are the benefits? Well, the benefits are savings on electrical bills. And primarily in the first year, the estimates are that you can save up to 20-30% of your current power bill. And the next few years after that, it gets down to lesser, like 10-15, maybe 20%. And again, I can't explain that, but a number of people told me that that's the way it is. So the sooner we get into action with this, more money that people will save. If we delay, it costs them money. It's relatively low risk. There is a single electrical bill. You won't notice it, except in the fine print on your power bill, that the power is coming from somewhere else. And there's no action required by residents until after we get the referendum. We have to vote for the referendum to get this going. What if the referendum passes, individuals can opt out at any time. However, once they opt out, they can't get back in. That's their choice. But they can opt out. They can go for their own supplier on a one-one basis, or they can go back to the Ameren as their supplier. Again, this is the authority of the Illinois Power Agency Act. How it works, the city or the county will aggregate the electrical loads of individual residents and businesses and try to negotiate for the cheapest power rate. How does it work? It works simply by competition. Again, Ameren, Blue Star, Direct Energy, Good Energy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the benefits of aggregation, according to Champaign, they think that, say, Champaign's going to save about $4 million to the residents for the whole city. I don't know what it is for the county because I just don't have those numbers in front of me. On an individual basis, save $8 to $10 a month off each bill, at least initially. After that, it'll drop some. Next page, again, low risk. The county can reject all bids if unfavorable. We still can get power through Ameren. Again, residents, and this also affects small businesses. They also can opt out of the program if they want to pursue electricity on their own. There will be a group of people who will be appointed by the county board to do things like select the supplier. That is, if the referendum passes, they also will monitor it, too. So that will be the board's role in doing that. Cost and risk. We cannot obviously guarantee that there will be a decrease in energy costs. But, however, certainly won't be an energy increase. It's, again, possible individuals could get a better rate than the city. There are some consultant fees. Champaign or Urbana plan to... There is you can collect actually a small fee to compensate for that. Champaign, Urbana, Savoy plan to collect a small fee just to compensate them for their time. So they're not interested in making money. They realize this is really a short-term phenomena. It's not worth trying to make money off something like that. Most of the time is going to be spent on staff time. One of the biggest things we'll have to do is have an education program to try to get some education literature out to the people of Illinois before they vote on this referendum. The referendum is required by law. The aim is to have it on the ballot on March 20th, 2012. And the ballot question reads, shall the city of Champaign have the authority to arrange for the supply of electricity for its residential and small commercial retail customers who have not opted out of such a program? And right now, Urbana-Savoy and Champaign are pursuing aggregation now. They said actually the county is pursuing it. Well, they're probably a little ahead of the game there. But again, it allows us to work together.
what I think we can do, we can work alongside them. I guess, again, we won't have an intergovernmental agreement per se, but we work alongside with them to achieve the same thing. It's possible that our council or committee might select a different supplier than they do, but that's all right. When it comes down to that, we have that right to do that. And so that's the end of my presentation. Ms. Ammons?
Entertain a motion. We need a motion on the floor before we have discussion.
Second.
I'm sorry, who's the first? Ms. Petrie, second by Mr. Richards. I saw Mr. Carter, I wrote down first. I got Mr. Kurtz, and then, no.
I was just making the motion.
Thank you. Mr. Carter.
Yeah. I'm sitting here listening. The first place, could I just kind of ask you, where did you get this from?
City of Champaign.
Huh?
City of Champaign.
Now, you tell me, which we just got out of the situation, similarly. Now, your legislature in Springfield, your lawmakers, there's nothing we can do but pay what Ammon and these companies ask us to do, because they done put that already in law. So why are we sitting up here wasting time trying to do this? Is nothing but wooden address. What our legislators did last month, or was that last month or month, it's there. We should have had this before then, not now. And there's nothing we can do.
I disagree with you.
Other people going to suffer because Ammon have the power and the rest of them to do what they want to do. And I have every one of them that taking that little campaign money from Ammon and the rest of them to get this done. So why are we letting these people smoke up with this kind of press?
Thank you, Ms. Carter.
We don't have a plan in the world. I'm going to tell you now, you say you do it, but you don't. Because it's already been done.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Kurtz, and then I see you, Mr. Richards.
I have to abstain from this vote. I'm in this business right now, and it'll be a conflict of interest.
Okay. Mr. Richards.
I'm glad Mr. Carter brought up those points, because while there's nothing we can do to undo the so-called smart grid bill that the legislature passed that has to do with transmission and distribution, I think that this is a great opportunity for the people in Champaign County. We've already had great success with the buying group for ourselves. And part of the deregulation and one of the bones when this was set up a little over 10 years ago that's actually pro-consumer is the opportunity to do something like this where we do come together. And on the supply side, we do have a chance to bid this out, and probably will do so more successfully than individuals looking to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. James.
I have two questions. First one is, I guess we're being the state saying we have to put it on the ballot sooner or later, correct?
No, we do not have to.
Okay.
But if we want to give the opportunity to obviously residents to form an aggregation, we have to. The only way to form the aggregation is to have it on the ballot. Otherwise, everybody could try to form their own co-op independently.
Well, that answered that question. My second question is, your voice is so soothing, I guess I missed it. So if I was like where I live, out there in the rural area, and the county passes this, does that mean for a simple guy like me that I can join in with the county and possibly get my bill lowered, or do I have to stay out there with who I have?
Are you an Ameren customer?
Am I?
Yes.
They seem to think so.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, no, you actually, the county is different. It's a different category. You'd be joining with all the other rural residents, like Mr. Noodle lives in a part of Champaign that's unincorporated. You'd be with him and other people like that throughout the county, outside municipalities, and that would be your group. And then you as a whole would obviously bargain for a supplier.
Oh, we would have to do that?
Well, there would be a committee appointed by the county board that would do that.
Well, that answered that question. Thank you.
I have Mr. Maxwell, Mr. Alex, and then Ms. Petrie. Mr. Maxwell.
I may ask the county clerk a couple questions.
The county clerk?
Yep.
Yes.
Good.
Mechanics of actually putting this on a ballot. When does it have to be passed by the board? And is it something you can accomplish it's by the March 20 primary? And got any idea how much additional cost it would entail?
The deadline to place a public question on the ballot by ordinance or resolution is January 3rd for the March 20th primary. So we have plenty of time for that. We won't start creating ballots for the March primary until the middle of January after we get our certifications from the State Board of Elections, so we have plenty of time to deal with this. One of the things that nobody ever considers when talking about a question like this is what is the actual cost of administering the ballot question. And because the city of Champaign and city of Urbana are already moving towards putting this on the ballot in March instead of waiting until November, a lot of those costs are going to be sunk for us anyway. If a jurisdiction in Champaign County tells us to put something on a ballot, we have to put it on the ballot as long as they follow all the laws. But because the question is going to be on the ballot at a primary, we're going to have to craft, for example, if you pass it countywide and ask for the countywide question, for every precinct ballot code that we have in the county, and right now with the Republican Party primary and a Democratic Party primary countywide, we'll already have somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 different ballots for Champaign County, different districts intersect, so we'll have about 600 different ballots. We will also have to have an additional third ballot style at every precinct and every polling place in the county for a nonpartisan ballot in case somebody wants to show up to vote on this ballot question but doesn't want to pull a party ballot. But because the city of Champaign and city of Urbana are already moving forward with this, we already have to have this question on the ballot in 64 of the 118 precincts in Champaign County anyway. So a lot of those costs we're already preparing to deal with. But this train had pretty much left the station before anybody said, hey, I wonder how much this is going to cost to administer. It'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000.
Thank you. I might add, I met with Mr. Holton early on when we found out about this, just to discuss some of the mechanics of this.
Mr. Alex.
I have a couple of things. My reading of this statute, which is even more vague and half-assed than the typical Illinois statute, indicates as the county's responsibility or the municipality or, in our case, the county's responsibility to provide notifications to the affected potential customers that they have the right to opt out, to organize the bidding, to provide these services, and to essentially administer this program. Who's going to do that, and do we have the resources to even do that?
I can't really answer the question. One possibility is that it could be included along with the billing from Ameren. But, again, that's a good question.
Are you going to sit there and listen to 10 power companies come in and offer better deals? Or
no, actually the plan is to hire a consultant who will do that for you.
Okay.
And actually on this Thursday, Champaign Urbana Savoy are planning to do that, or interviewing three representatives from three different organizations. My plan is to sit in with them.
Okay, so by the time this goes to the full board, we should have a better idea of how the cities are going to handle this.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I understand this doesn't, again, based on my reading of this, it looks like it excludes electric co-ops.
Correct.
I don't know, do we have any idea what percentage of rural or unincorporated Champaign County is served by Ameren?
I actually called Ameren and tried to talk to some authorities. He promised me an answer, and I never heard back from him.
I mean, would any of the rural representatives on the board have any idea of that? I mean, is most of the rural county under Eastern Illini, or is most of it under Ameren?
In our area where I live, which is actually I'm in an unincorporated area, just like the sign that's incorporated is in my yard, is Eastern Illini when you go a little bit further north of 136.
Okay, and are there any other electrical suppliers up in Champaign County that we know of other than Eastern Illini?
The Village of Rantoul has its own.
Oh, okay. And that was
right.
Nice
and
question.
That is a huge person that has theirs.
In our area, it's Ameren.
And I have Eastern Illini.
Okay.
Then
does anybody know of anything that's not either Eastern Illini or Ameren?
Right. Eastern Illini. I believe Eastern and Ameren are the ones. As far as...
Microphone.
Sorry. As far as distribution, I don't know. I do know... Where I live, I'm Ameren. Mom and Dad, just across the section. I mean, as the crow flies a mile away, maybe they're Eastern. It just varies. I mean, I know a situation where, you know, I think Sedoris is, there may be Yeah, they're Ameren now, but
Silco, yeah.
Outside, there's Eastern. I mean, it just varies.
Okay, the reason I ask is I just want to make sure that this is something that isn't just going to apply to, you know, 1,000 people out in the county. No. This is actually going to be worth doing. It sounds like it would be. And then my final question, which I think is to confirm, Dan, you said Rantoul still does operate their own power utility, right? Okay, thank you.
If I could just make a comment here. Mr. Ellis, I'll point out that just around Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy, there's approximately 6,140 households which are on Ameren. That's just households.
Outside of this?
Outside. That's just around the Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy area.
Okay. Thank you.
I have Ms. Petrie, Ms. Anderson, Ms. Michaels.
Thank you. I cannot support this referendum going on the ballot, and the reasons are the following. The way the statute is set up, you have to opt out, and once you opt out, you can't opt back in. That limits choices. Second, it's structured on price. It isn't structured any way to encourage people to conserve energy. And third, this is not the least. This is not the best way to save money on your electrical rates. There's been a program put out by Ameren called Power Smart Pricing for 5 years. And the savings on that is far greater than any projected saving on this or any of the mailings you've been getting. So this is not serving our citizens of the county well to put this on the referendum. They should take other options if they really want to save money on the electrical rates.
Thank you. Ms. Anderson.
Well, we had an email, and I'm trying to think if that came from the city, but it had this information.
It was from me.
But it had a lot of other information explaining the opt-in or opt-out. But if Mr. Alex is asking about how certain information gets out, and I'm not sure what all it was, but there were things that Ameren would still have to put in their billing. So I think some, you know, other than this, that there would be information that would go out through your billing if you are under Ameren.
Thank you. Ms. Michaels.
Ms. Rowell is going to ask what I was going to say.
Thank you. Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter.
To make it short tonight, can anybody, I'm honest enough to ask you, I know what they told me, but can anybody here tell us what was in the agreement that our lawmakers made the other month with the power company?
I can't.
Do you know what was in there?
No.
Anybody? So, this is what I'm saying. And I was told, and I know they didn't lie to me, we don't have a right to regulate the power company. That's it. When all our lawmakers taking them donations and agreed to those provisions they did, we sunk. Now, you can sit here and take all of this crap there you want to, but to me, I'm going to tell you, I have a feeling we've been had already.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. I will have to abstain as well. I'm signed up with a company just recently that I haven't started exactly, but there may be a conflict. Mr. Richards.
I wanted to say I was remiss in earlier not telling the board. We're not pioneers in this in Illinois. Several municipalities have already done this, and I know Oak Park at least considers their getting involved with this to be a success. So we're not the first ones going out on a limb here on this.
Carol, you were saying why?
Yeah.
I signed up with an energy company recently that hasn't actually opened in the market, but they're doing training for this, and so there may be a conflict of interest there.
Would it cause me to abstain if my kids are pedaling bikes when I'm using
that? And using it for energy, I would think so.
If you sign up with a company to get energy from, correct?
SPC.
No, to be able to offer similar.
So you'll be working for them?
Correct.
Okay.
Same with me. Viridian Energy is the name of the company.
That's right.
So you're competitors with Mr. Kurtz.
Any other questions about the referendum ballot? Okay, thank you. I don't even know how to call the question. All right. All in favor of the request for this resolution, the public question on the ballot, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposition?
Aye.
I think the ayes have it. That motion passes. Designation of items to be placed on consent. We have item A2, A3, A5, A6, A7, B2, C3, D1. And that is it? Oh, and from the addendum, I'm sorry, A8. That'll be all from policy. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have Justice Social Services, Mr. Richards.
We like working with you, Rocket.
Okay.
Bow wow.
This is Justice and Social Services. First thing that we have are the monthly reports. Mr. James.
Can I make an omnibus motion to accept and place all those reports on file without discussion?
Second.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know about without discussion, but we can do an omnibus motion. We have a second from, was that Jones? That was Jones. Okay. We do have an omnibus motion. Is there any discussion? I do, as usual, have a couple points, but is there any, does anybody else have any discussion points? I wanted to bring up the public defender. They're a little, this is not their normal report. As you can see, we had problems with the public defender, and they have now caught up. And thank you to Randy Rosenbaum on that. Just wanted to skim a little bit of his correspondence with me over what their problem had been. Mr. Rosenbaum points out that since their new county computer system went operational several years ago, it's generally taken an extra month to get the reports to the board, because there's been programming and data entry problems. And because he's had to lay off a legal secretary last year, his administrative assistant has found less time to work on the statistics. But never fear, the computer system's been upgraded recently, and Kirk Bedwell and Randy were testing the system. And so this is why we are now caught up. No more glitches in the computer system. Hopefully we will stay caught up with the public defender's office. We also, I hope everybody took the time to pull down the third quarter report for juvenile supervision for probation and court services. Does anybody have any questions, discussion on these reports? Ms. Petrie.
I sent you this information question, and is it directly to these reports, but when I go in to read them, there are other entities that are up on the website, and their reports are very behind. The circuit clerk and the coroner. Is there a reason for that?
The circuit clerk and the coroner are elected officials, and you could contact them if you have a concern about whether or not the reports are posted.
Yeah, basically these are executive agencies, I would guess you call it, but these agencies do report to us. The electeds, it's good to know what they're doing, but we really can't compel anything out of them. Are there any other questions, discussions on Mr. James' omnibus motion? All in favor of putting these reports on file, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. If that went on consent, that would not go on consent.
Way to go.
Okay. Our second thing, B1, we do we have a request from probation and court services for approval of an application of award acceptance of a grant from the Illinois Criminal Justice Authority. This is not a first-time grant. It is not
completely revenue neutral. There is a match on that that would come from the probation services fund if, as expected, they get this. Again, I'll entertain a motion from Ms. Ammons, second from Anderson. Is there any discussion? Are there any questions on this item? Okay. No discussion. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same. Motion passes. Passed unanimously, so it will go on consent. Will not make the full board meeting longer, like some of the things we'll be discussing. Other business. Ms. Ammons, did you have other business?
I just wanted to ask the chair if he would assist. I have requested a program evaluation of the Access Initiative, of which we have not received any update here.
I think that would be a great item going forward. First step will be making Mr. Rosales give us some very detailed long reports on that. And it's definitely time come January to hear from several of the people running these programs again, so we can keep up our oversight on that. Is there any other business from any members of the board? Okay, Mr. Carter. What's that, Mr. Carter? I'll get to Mr.
Is this other business?
We're under other business. Do you have any other justice and social services business?
Since we get kind of carried away here on these, what we can say and what we can't say, this is a good time for me to find out. Now, what can you say on the other business?
If it's related to the Justice and Social Services Committee of the Whole, fire away.
Huh?
If it's related to Justice and Social Services, you can say it.
Well, yeah. I just sit up here and see some of the stuff we do, wasting all this time, and we not even the agencies that's supposed to be doing it. This bothers me. And if I go on to explain myself, because I really wanted to vote on that. That was an important question about the poison of the water. And I wouldn't support him. But I need to know, hey, you got a constituted body that's already put in place to send people to jail if they break the law, and here we up here appeasing. Now, come on, you all. This don't make no sense. Now I'm trying to get a clarification of that. Because there's no way that you can go over this agency when it's been bodied, sound, and sworn in to do this job. Somebody else going to hear you? No. They're going to tell you to go back to that agency. I know. So you just spending your wheels here a long time for nothing. And it needs to be stopped.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Nudo, do you still have any other business?
No, I have another business.
Other.
Yeah.
Is that a yes?
That's a no.
No?
He wants other
business there.
Oh. Well,
that's right.
Is there any other justice and social services other business? Okay. B1 will be on consent. That is it. Social services, you're welcome.
Okay, a couple items yet under other business. There was one item which we had hoped it would be on the agenda. It was an RFP on the sound equipment for the
video arraignment.
However, what happened was that Ms. Busey had a emergency on Thursday and Friday, and we did not get that on the addendum. So what was the date the 10th was?
The RFP for court sound and video arraignment, which you're all familiar with, should have been a policy tonight for approval to be released. It did not make the agenda. It's all scheduled to be advertised, released, placed on the website starting tomorrow. What we would like to do is go ahead and proceed, bring it to the committee, to the county board meeting next Tuesday. When you can vote on it because it's on the agenda, do not approve it, and it would be like a committee action at the board meeting, then we would pull it and we would not proceed with it. But we would prefer not to lose the time by issuing it this point in time, we are scheduled to be able to bring a proposed contract to you in January. We would not be able to do that if we wait until next week to release it.
Mr. Alex.
Deb, I was under the apparently mistaken impression that I'd be involved in the process of helping put that RFP together, and I was never given any notice that that was being done. And I thought Mr. Quisenberry was under a similar impression.
Well, the RFP, I mean, you can... It was done by our facilities director. It was done with the other individuals from the court system and a consultant who provided assistance. Certainly, at this point, we can get it to you right away. You can review it. If you have comments, we could change it.
That would be great, since okay. I thought I was going to be at the table when we wrote the thing in the first place.
I apologize. I didn't know that you weren't contacted.
So if you could email that to him tonight, he can spend the rest of the night looking at that. Okay, again, so we'll have, this will be on the agenda for the county board meeting, but it'll be actually as a committee item there, and so it'll be somewhat, just we'll make a note of that once on that agenda. I just want to let you know about that. Okay, does anybody have a problem with that?
Am I on that committee?
I hope not.
No, Steve.
Yeah, we hope not.
Okay, Mr. Noodle, you want to say something?
Yes, thank you. You know, on the basis of my overall support of the Clinton landfill intergovernmental agreement and the conversation I had with the finance chair and the chair that we are going to discuss this further, I am asking the recording secretary to make my vote a yes, and then we'll have further discussion during the regular meeting. So please note that.
I just want to ask Mr. Betts, from a parliamentary viewpoint, what's the proper way of changing vote, or?
Bring a motion to reconsider the main motion.
I guess that'd be a motion to reconsider. However, I will point out, Mr. Neal, that you have on the record that you want to vote yes. So although your vote would be recorded no, certainly it's on the record, so you support it. Oh, then we have to have a motion to reconsider. If somebody here wants to do that, that voted yes. No, I have to be voted yes in this case. It has to be prevailing side. So anybody here voted yes? Want to reconsider? Mr. J, a second by Mr. Rosales. Okay, that motion is on the floor again. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? I don't. Any discussion on the item? Roll call, please.
Betts.
Oh, I'm sorry. No roll call. Just a motion to reconsider to bring back the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, back to the side. The main motion is now on the floor on whether to vote for the Clinton landfill item.
Voting it again?
Yeah. Ms. Anderson.
A question. If we vote for this, is that... Would we then be voting just to change his vote?
No. A motion to reconsider eliminates all votes.
Then anybody else could change.
That's right. You can change too. Correct. Ms. Holderfield.
Alan, thank you for bringing that up. I do, voting no for that was a difficult decision. I do want to support the Muhammad aquifer's integrity. So I want to make sure that the people that have had an opportunity to reconsider do have an opportunity to change their vote from a no vote to a yes vote.
Keep it down, please. Let her speak.
Thank you. So I think in fairness, I do appreciate the opportunity to have a reconsideration prior to this meeting ending tonight.
Further discussion, Mr. James.
I'm going to have to Lloyd Carter's seat here. Here we vote. Now we're going to go back and revisit it because somebody feels like their vote wasn't right. Vote when you have the knowledge and vote the way you should.
I'll recognize Ms. McGinty. Is there a second to call the question? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. You call the question. Roll call, please. Member, I abstain.
Betts?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Cowart?
Yes.
Esri?
No.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Kurtz?
For the second time, yes.
Maxwell?
Yes.
Michaels?
No.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
No.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammons?
No.
Anderson?
No.
McGinty?
Yes.
Motion carries. Is there any other business? Seeing none, we're adjourned.
I'm not going to.